Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXRadio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You're listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Beninger. Our phone number here at the station is area code 760-337-8874. Or you can access us through the podcast on the web on kxoradio.com.
That pretty much covers it,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, that does it.
What do I could say good morning, huh?
Yeah, please.
It's my important
part. That's your job.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to the show, everyone. September's recovery as substance abuse, substances, alcohol, drugs, other drugs, etc. Recovery month. So we kick it off here with a bang. We have a guest today from our dual diagnosis integrated support treatment services. How's that for mouthful? Yeah. Did you have any idea it was that much?
That's a lot of worry.
Yeah. We're here today with our friend Jesse, who's coming to us from the dual diagnosis clinic, which that's mental health problem and substance use problem, right?
Yes.
For you.
For me, it is, yes.
Okay. Okay. And we're going to talk about recovery.
Yes, recovery is the main part of it.
Sweet. So all you recovery people out there, 337-8874 is the phone number. Give us a call. Got questions for Jesse. Got stuff you want to add to the conversation this morning. And let's just jump right in. Morning, Jesse.
Morning, Scott.
Good morning.
Good morning to you also.
So what's it like? Are you, like, officially recovered or
I have one more class to go through. And then I'm off to get a job or something. And then, but right now I've been through years of mental health, and recovery is a big part of it. The dual diagnosis is just a little small part. The real big part is having to really realize that there's people that need help, like myself, from drugs and alcohol, to the same for them. And I really have a problem with that.
When did all this start? Like many, many moons ago?
It started in the backyard of my foster parents' house, and I looked and saw that I had some kind of drug, and it was interesting to see that I had never used before. I didn't really realize what it was, but once you pick up, they say, you know, it once you use it, you're already addicted.
So was it a curiosity, or was it something, you know what?
It was something brought out to me by another person, mostly peer pressure.
Mm-hmm. So they kind of headed back to, hey, let's try.
They headed back to me, yeah.
How old were you?
I was young. I was about 17, late teens.
Mm-hmm. How what was going emotionally at that time? Were you also?
I was dealing with adolescence.
Mm-hmm. And foster parents.
And foster care, yeah, foster parents.
How did that?
That's fine. They're very treating me very well, but it didn't last that long. I had to go through the mental health system at an early age, and then I had problems with the different organizations that I tried to help out. Like, I was going to Central, and I was on the Booster Club, and I tried to make money for them, $5 and a ticket or something for donation. And I played football in high school. I was really good in track, but somehow I lost track of life at some point, and I started using drugs.
So the story didn't really switch. It didn't get difficult until towards the end of high school, more or less?
Yeah, so there in the high school, it got a little harder because people were flinging me here and there, and I had to get track of life, and it just totally erupted into something I would have never happened to anybody. I wouldn't want it to happen to anybody.
Mm.
But it was something that I got myself into, and you're right, it was traumatic, I guess.
You mentioned that you were early age, you were in the mental health system.
Mm-hmm.
Why were you there, or what?
I was there because I was having trouble with having to deal with the constant social workers driving me from home to home. I ended up in a group home, then I ended up in jail, ended up because of drugs, actually, all that stuff. And I would have to keep track of where I was going, and I don't really know where I left off. And that's where I guess I get a little bit of intuition on where I am, because I'm here right now. And but before, in the past, where I've been, I really had to realize that I have had that much...
A lot of moving around.
A lot of moving around. Here and there and everywhere.
So you never had really like a stability, nothing stable.
Nothing stable, no. And I can't base it on anything except the fact that the people that helped me were there to help me at that period of time.
Do you remember back then, were you angry? Did you feel like, you know, okay, here we go again, moving around?
Mostly I did feel that it was something that was like that, yes. I felt it was all that moving around, and I didn't like it. I kind of resorted to anything I could, anything that presented itself.
Right. Drugs?
Drugs, alcohol, binges. They had everything back then.
Mm-hmm.
And now the days, people are very sociable, and there's things that people have that they could use. Back then, I really didn't have any opportunities at all except my own endeavors. But people, I'm sure they got a lot of drugs from other people. And that might have been it. It might have been just society just telling me, you know, it's just the way it is. You have to be going from here to there because of certain, I don't know, whatever the reasons were that I had to go from place to place. But luckily I ended up surviving it somehow, and nowadays I don't have any problems that I did like back then. But it's nice to realize what I did back then, because that was my life, and my life is something that, you know, I should hold true. Everybody has their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm glad I have mine now. But you're right, I didn't really realize what I was doing back then.
337-887-4 is the phone number. Here today, Jesse, we're kicking off recovery month. Talking about recovery. You know, what I hear is that it sounds like the moving around, and it sounds like all the people who were trying to help you, that sounds like some emotional pain came out of that. It sounds like at some level there was some hurt going on. Do you remember exactly how you got in the foster system? Was that
wow. That was because I came down here with a moving van, and we didn't have a place to stay quite yet.
Yeah.
And just we were
with mom and dad, or
we were in a moving truck with with most of our stuff.
Okay.
And we somehow got here to the valley, and I don't know the magic behind it, but
how old? Pretty young. Then?
I was pretty young. Yeah. I went to here locally. I went to Grace Lutheran. I attended a lot of the good aspects of El Centro, and I really.
But something happened to kind of, I guess, break you apart from your family.
Yes, I think it was probably that they were tired of giving me a good time, and they're adults now, the kid. And
were they struggling? Your
parents? Oh, yes. I had an uncle that was in the news press. He worked for the news company. I mean, the news, yeah, news press paper? Paper? Mm-hmm. News press paper? And he had a job, and that's why we moved where we did. And then we came down here because the weather where we were at was very well, and I was getting sick, and we had to come down here in the desert. It was a little better, I guess. It was my grandma's idea. My Uncle Bob's idea, I don't know. But it was a fast way over here. I don't know. My grandma got an apartment, and I just kind of...
So you're pretty much raised by your grandma?
Yeah, raised by my grandma.
Yeah. At some point, that got to be too much for her.
Too much for her. She's elderly.
Yeah.
And it was something with her. She really was. She had a beautiful apartment at the end, and then she had a lot of things to deal with me. But she passed away about a year ago, and it was nice for her to me to treat her good. I would give her everything I had. Everything I'd make, I'd give back to her. But she really didn't appreciate it. And I had to realize that years later, up until now, that she couldn't really cope with what she had. And it was a very nice apartment.
Mm-hmm.
It was, had everything. And she enjoyed it, I'm sure. But besides that, I mean, I kind of have a lot to do with having to maintain my sobriety and work towards society and give it back what they've given me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a good time the last 2 years. I've only done drugs. I've been kept up with mental health. And
you've had to deal with two things, not just the alcohol and drugs. The drugs, you have to also deal with the mental health. You know, a lot of people just deal with, you know, their mental health issues, and you've had to deal with two.
Right, the mental health issues and
the drugs.
The drugs, yes. And the drugs are rampant. I don't know. It's. I've had to deal with that just recently, and just recently I stopped my use completely. And it's
how long have you been clean of?
Just as last year.
Last year.
Last year, sometime. Or the beginning of this year, I had something like. I don't know, like a beer or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really get drunk. There were people I used to hang out with back in the day, and they really got blasted. And they're not here no more, so that makes me think that it was a bad thing for them to do that. And, mm-hmm. and they had alcohol back then. They didn't have too much drugs, but I guess that's a different way of thinking about it, too. I could actually live my life in this world and understand that the drugs that people are doing at the time, like from before, it came out into years, a couple of years of drugs, and that was it. I don't know why. I mean, they could have something positive, like a couple of years of a good government or something, a good. But I do have to thank the county. The county's been real nice. I've seen a lot of different aspects of it, and it's really helped me out. But
with the services that they offered,
me were very, very well. I really have to analyze how good they've been to me for the years, and kind of reflect and learn. Oh, I've already learned, but kind of soak in and get like a good feeling about and good thoughts and also learn from what they've done for me, and because they've done services like mm-hmm. for my hearing and or for for my drug use, talking to me about how to prevent myself and others from using
mm-hmm.
and that's been a big part of my life lately, being sober and being respectful, because people have helped me out. And if you help your person helps you out, the other people might get helped out. You never know. It's
mm-hmm.
it's good for everything.
Is that one of the messages you wanted? I mean, you basically asked to come on the show today. Is that one of the messages you wanted to get out? Was that there is help available, and that other people who may be really suffering with substance use or mental health or both could come and experience kind of the same sort of progress that you've got made.
People should receive the same treatment I did. How good my life has been should be another person's life. Not the bad, of course,
mm-hmm.
but there's not that bad in the world right now. It's, mm-hmm. it's a good world. It just needs a little bit clean time.
Perfect. Hey, let's take a break. That's perfect. Now let's go to break for that. This is Let's Talk About It, Your Voice for Wellness here in Imperial County. We're taking a short top PR break. We'll be right back with more, Jesse.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services, each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUDO 88.7 FM Radio Bilingue.
Welcome back. You're still listening to your weekly wellness radio for Imperial and the Mexicali Valleys. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874.
And if you like what you hear today, catch it on the podcast. It'll be up in about a week at kxlradio.com. Click on demand. It's like this
third button over from the left, and then you get Let's Talk About It, and then click on Let's Talk About It, and then all the shows are listed in going, I think, back to January. Some really good shows back there. So, welcome back. We're here. We're kicking off National Substance Recovery Month thing.
Yes, and it's by the Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Administration, SAMHSA.
SAMHSA, otherwise known as. And we're here doing recovery. Woo, yay. And we got Jesse here. And Jesse's been in like almost 15 years of behavioral health services, huh? Mm-hmm.
That's great.
It's been quite a ride, huh?
It's been a ride.
Now, 337-8874 is the phone number. You want to call and say good morning to Jesse. Got any questions for Jesse? He's eager to take your phone call. Eager to take your phone call. And let's kind of go back to this. Now, I heard, you know, you're kind of describing, you know, bouncing around in foster cares and how, you know, eventually you got to a point where you experimented with substances, and it seems like that went pretty fast, pretty furious, and your relationship with substances got pretty intense because that led to needing to recover, I guess. But what about the mental health stuff? I mean, I heard sad, I heard angry. It got a lot worse than that, didn't it?
It did. It was the point where I had to be sedated at points, and then I had to have been hospitalized, and some of the things that I had to do is relate with my doctor, and then I have a case manager, and I have a home to live in right now that's probably that actually gives my medication that I need daily.
Mm. Now, do you experience, what kind of symptoms do you experience?
Oh, dizziness and...
Do you get voices and stuff like that?
I don't ever believe in voices. I don't, or I don't talk to myself. I like to talk to people. Or I like to, stuff like that, yeah. I mean, I like to, things that are bad with me, I just try to recover every day from having to be in the streets with people who use drugs and avoid the other areas of it.
When you were using drugs, was your mental health getting worse?
It was getting pretty worse because it would create like a catalyst or something like that.
Catalyst.
Yeah.
I know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so your symptoms would get worse. Would you act out? Would you
still wait? Just be using it all the time. I would be using it all the time.
What were you using? What kind of drugs?
Meth. Yeah. And the guy would supply it that was living there with me, and I would lose the drug, or I would it would disappear from using it, and it was weird. It's like having something that doesn't mean anything, and you're always around it, it's going to make you feel like you're nothing either. Because drugs are just terrible. I mean, I'll probably never go through that again, hopefully. I doubt it. Because the money that I was getting from my payee was supplying that. And that was a lot of money I had to go through, and a lot of pain and trouble. But mentally, the mental health system kind of came up and helped me in a way where in the past it would have been different circumstances,
mm-hmm.
but instead it helped me out in the end, and I ended up pretty good on a pretty fresh slate. Yeah, mental health is very, very nice to have here in the Valley, because there's people, of course there's a lot of people that explain it to me also, mm-hmm. All the time for some reason. They tell me they're good hearted people, I'm sure, but I kind of like never really understood until I had people to talk to, like you guys, would hear me about what I went through and kind of, you know, express it over the radio about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's other people out there that need to be helped, maybe, and they're not getting the help that mental health needs, the gives to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad I went through what I went through without getting a lot of damage behind it. Or just not, you know, staying alive. I really don't. I'm a civilized person. I really don't think too much about society getting involved. But when it's a person that is alone like me and not receiving mental health or taking my medication, or that's not good. So I really need to hear. It'd be good for me and for the people that attend mental health or in the mental health act that, or the Mental Health Services Act.
Yeah, you got it.
Mental Health Services Act. That they would prosper from that. And maybe they would give back to society. That's what I've learned from. I've gone through a lot of learning. I used to be out at the old VOA, and
so what have you learned? What kind of tools you've learned by your counselors, your substance abuse?
Oh, a lot. I learned it every day.
What have you learned how to stay away from drugs?
Mostly, they give us pamphlets every day.
Mm-hmm.
And we work on them, mm-hmm. and then we have some people that counsel us.
Mm-hmm.
And
what about triggers? Do you still have triggers? Are there still places or situations that you have to be pretty careful about?
There are. There are certain places, people, and things I gotta stay away from. And they teach you about that. They already taught me about that. Now they're teaching me about triggers, right? Triggers that. Things that make you click and just go, hey, I want to go out and get some drugs or something.
Do you still get urges?
I get urges.
How do you handle that?
I kind of have like a something inside me that tells me that it's gonna be all right, and that's what helps me.
So you just kind of soothe yourself. You remember why it's important not to use? Does
that
help
you? Yes, because it gets me in trouble. It's illegal. It does bad things to your body, and
so you put all those things on like the negative side.
Negative, yeah.
And it outweighs any benefit, I guess, of using, huh?
Yeah.
Nice. How what is it like to keep yourself safe now? That must feel pretty good.
It does. It feels good to be safe because there's nobody wants to feel like down or fearful or anything like that.
You had times like that.
I was alone with the drug, just me and the drug alone together.
Do you have a place to sleep? Or?
I've always had a place to sleep for some reason. It's been really good.
He's like, there's a reason, huh? Is Miguel help you out?
Your case manager.
Yes, Miguel here helps me out, my case manager. He helps me out, a big deal, a whole lot, actually. He's very persistent. He's a good guy.
Do you ever have you ever seen your old friends, or not your friends, the people that you hung out with, and tell them, you know what, you know, there's other choices? Or
they told me that it was for a month there a few years back. I've had having my friends reconcile. It was like the whole place around my aura, which I was out there in the streets. They were all making amends to everybody. People that have hurt other people, make amends to them, and they were doing that, and people were forgiving each other, and it was quite nice to see that.
Did that inspire you? Is that like, did you get caught up in that?
Yeah, that was something that was pretty interesting.
337-8874 is the phone number. Again, heart just be asking questions. And so you've been on Social Security for a while.
Oh, SSI, yes.
Yeah.
I figured my check was like somewhere around the 700 number.
Yeah, dang much money. Huh.
Not
in California.
No, California, I've seen some of the money amount.
A studio apartment, $650. Now what's left? So it's really difficult to get by on that amount of money. I heard you mention, right at the beginning of the show, you said, you know, now that I kind of got this sobriety thing and I've got, like, one more class to do, that you're looking forward to going out and maybe getting a job.
That's the plan.
How cool is that?
That's really cool. I've had work before. I've had people tell me that I don't work. I never work. But that's not. I mean, the lady at the house used to tell me. Tells me that, you know, negative stuff. But It was real cool. I had to walk a long way, though. I had to walk down a block that was, like, for so long, and I was just so happy to have that job that I would do that. And it was a good job, and I would be happy to get back into the working industry. That'd be nice.
So
sober and under mental health. Yeah, I think I still am under mental health jurisdiction.
So for you though, it's not like I guess maybe there's a conception that people who go on disability, you know, basically get happy with that or think that's you know, just kind of want to stay on that and stuff like that. But at least in your case, it sounds like you dream of bigger things.
I do. I'm a big dreamer.
What do you
want to
do? What's your dream?
My dream?
Besides going on the radio.
I don't know what it'd be. It's just a dream though, that I'd be able to go visit the good part of where I used to live in Santa Barbara, go get out of Vista, go back there and kind of like understand how I got there for some reason, and maybe go this January to my aunt's in New Jersey. It'd be nice. And maybe stay off. A dream, that would be my dream, to
travel.
Travel
and see other things.
And somehow end up somewhere else in the valley. But the valley's nice. It's got.
Except in the really, it's really, really hot.
Yeah, when it gets really, really hot, people start to get hot too.
So part of this though is kind of just getting the stuff that you need to, you know, have the freedom to do what you want to do with your life, huh?
I have the freedom, yeah.
And so part of that may be getting a job because, you know, $700 a month is kind of hard to fly to New Jersey.
Yeah.
Because that would be like the whole month's worth, huh?
Yeah.
So, is school one of the things that you might think about doing?
I would love to get back into school.
Did you end up graduating from high school?
Nothing really bad ever happened. Nothing.
So you have your high school diploma?
I did have it, but it was at my grandma's apartment.
Oh, so you still.
I still could get something from it.
Yeah, it's in the records.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
So maybe going back to college and getting some, taking some college classes and getting some, you know, computer experience, stuff like that.
I like computers. Computers are good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We do. Good morning. And welcome to the show. Caller, are you on there?
Hello?
Ah, here we go.
Hello?
You are... I'm here. Good morning, caller.
I was wondering, Jesse, where you're staying right now, is it helping you and with the recovery from the drugs and everything?
It's helping me a little bit, but it's mostly helping the way that I have to live there. They don't really look at it that way, but it's kind of sort of, yeah, I do have...
You have to, if you use drugs, can you stay there?
No.
And they're also helping you take the medication for mental health?
Oh, medication, definitely, yeah, a lot of medication.
Where exactly are you staying at, Jesse?
Oh, me? I'm staying at a board and care, where they give me my medication and...
Well, where is that at?
Oh, it's over... It's over someplace here at El Centro.
Well, if you need, information, call it, we can give that to you, off the air.
Off the air, yeah. Any other questions for Jesse?
Oh, no, that's it.
All right. Thanks for
calling. Thank you so much. But hold on, okay?
Okay.
337-8874 is the phone number. How long have you been living where you're at now, in the board?
I've been there about a year.
And that's also kind of the same time that you were saying that you've been able to stop using substances.
Yeah, substances, I've stopped using, and they asked me at the behavioral health when I go to the center, I think it's under a mental health act, that I shouldn't be using drugs, and it's good to be off drugs, and I have them at the home, like the caller said. Can I stay in the house if there's no drugs there, where is it, and how she can get some help to Maybe she's on drugs. Maybe she used drugs. Maybe, but I haven't used drugs in the house.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice to have.
But one of the things, the rules of the of where you live is that no drugs or
no
alcohol.
Drugs or alcohol.
So
yeah,
that's good because the people that you live with are also drug free.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's that. You know, that's one of the triggers. I mean, there's no triggers in there.
There's no triggers. It's a safe environment.
Safe environment.
Very
yes.
safe. They've got everything already down pat. The state runs it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty nice to be living in a home with, you know, no drugs and no peer pressure. No, it's a board and care.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more likely that people who were using or are using would go there. They wouldn't be using at the home.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a drug-free environment, but they have everything.
What were you living before that?
Oh, before.
Yeah.
lots of before.
Before.
I think I was at a motel here in Central.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was not a safe environment.
No, it wasn't. It was interesting because some of the things that people say to me, I would brush it off, and somehow I just didn't get along with what was going on there, and that got me in trouble.
And at that time, you weren't taking your medication; you were using drugs.
I would have to go literally across town to get something to eat every day. But I was on drugs though. Mm-hmm. I was having people around over there with mm-hmm. drugs.
But you were able to resist using
it? I was able to resist using it.
But it was not as safe, huh?
It wasn't as safe. So. It was like even the motel manager would take money from me.
Did you have to develop a lot of survival skills just to kind of live in those unsafe environments?
Not really. It's already been me, Jesse. It's just Jesse. I really haven't gotten into anything. I've seen a few things that were bad here in the Valley, but that's years ago. And it looks like it's rounded out to be like a continual of what happened years ago, like 10 years ago. There was a few things that I would ask people out in the street, do you remember anything like police lines around the block and nobody could go over there? Or, no, I didn't. Oh, well, neither did I then. But nothing drastic. I think that the mental health is really good, helped me. Because I wouldn't be able to have what I have now if it wasn't for them. And who helped me was my family. And now I only have like one aunt in New Jersey. And she sends me a little bit of something here and there
mm-hmm.
to help me out with not having that much money.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's good. So, going back to your dreams, and do you have any plans? I think Scott had mentioned going to college or maybe taking some classes.
Job or college or classes, yes.
Are you in the process or is your case manager helping you out and trying to get a, you know?
Yeah. He's trying to help me out. I mean, he'll approve of it if I get into it.
He's right next to you sitting down.
Oh,
so you take a big part then, Jesse, in deciding where your recovery goes and what happens next time.
That's
what I hear.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, the big thing is that you want to get back into the workforce.
The workforce would be nice.
You have a place, a stable place where you live. You're drug free. Mm-hmm. You're taking your medication for your mental health. So you know, little steps.
Mm-hmm.
Little steps.
So what is
the next little step?
My next little step is probably to complete the drug and alcohol classes that I go through.
That'd be
nice. I've been there since I think 2007,
mm-hmm.
and they really do a good job every day, and it's just getting better every day. And I like to graduate from there. I've seen people graduate.
That'd be important, then, huh?
It'd be important. Cause then
you want to graduate, too.
Yeah, I want to graduate, too. I really do.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. But I remember I used to do a lot of this stuff for people too, and I think that people should give them back for what they dug, and I don't know how it works out nowadays, but
do you see yourself as kind of like a mentor now, helping people that are maybe still
socially yeah. I do. I would love to help people.
Like the
some kind of missionary.
People in your groups or something, for example, that might not be kind of caught up like you are right now. Do you help them to stay safe? Do you help them to?
Yeah, just by being polite and having a strong affirmation.
Good modeling.
Yes. Having a good modeling spot. You're right. Having a good person, being a good person, and people liking you is a big part of it.
Have you made friends in the in your alcohol and drug groups? Have you made friends with? Do you talk to them?
I think we're all friends. We're all a big group over there. It's real nice. I have made friends.
There's a real sense of family then.
Yes, it's a sense of family and a good feeling about having friends and have had
and recovering friends even better.
Oh yes, recovering friends.
So you're all in the same boat.
All in the same boat, just paddling away.
So have you, in that way, so you've seen your other people that's in the group graduate? And
I see a lot of people come and go. They were good people. And they did that part, and they did graduate.
They recovered and stayed clean and did everything that they have to do. And
it's amazing to see that over the years. It really is. It's like that's part of a life that I lived, and I got to see those people recover. And it should give hope to those who are recovering, who maybe have never used, or those people who want to further their lives. I mean, there's a lot out there, and there's a lot to it. I've been learning a little bit just lately about what's out there in the schools and in the
job
trade and
little steps. For the next to graduate.
Yeah.
And then once you've done that, then you can take another little step and see what
small steps.
Yeah.
How important was hope to this process? It sounds like was there a time when you were really struggling that you really didn't have much hope, that it was always going to be a struggle, or
I just had a positive attitude towards everything.
Even in the worst of times, you kind of you kind
of
felt like you were going to get out of it someday.
Oh, I struggled. I fought my way through.
Mm.
Yeah. But there are people that were in my way, but not so much that they would hurt me. They would try to help me. And
did you get in your own way sometimes?
I got my own way. Yeah. I got. When I did the drugs and stuff, I got in the way of things that could have been better. I mean, there was like a wall in front of me that I couldn't get through.
You couldn't do there was no way to make those small steps.
Nope, there wasn't. And I took life a little bit too. I was like, here I am. I really grew in myself at an early age. I said, I could do this. I could go maintain a job. And I could go back home walking all that way. And I just had no ways and means, no help. And then people started helping me out, and the jobs started working. And I understood that I had a job and that it would help me out with the money part. And I really didn't know much about money. I wasn't receiving any money at my foster home, except maybe a little bit.
So you didn't know how to manage your money.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Nobody taught you how to manage your money.
No, I didn't even see a dollar bill up until maybe like
after you got out of your foster care.
I didn't see really a lot of money. I didn't see a lot of drugs, and then everything just came at me. And
once you graduated, and you said, okay, you're 18, you're on your own.
That I never really thought about that, but that's the way it was.
Reality. Right? It's
reality.
Like, okay,
yes.
How are you going to support yourself? And there's drugs now. People are offering you drugs.
And having all that money, too, is weird. Because it should go for something else. Mm-hmm. It should have been for my college or something like that.
Yeah.
I had a good upbringing. But,
well, and you mentioned, you know, a long walk to get to work. Well, it's like it took a long walk to get to where you are today.
Yes.
And it sounds like you're ready to go back to work and have a great life.
Yep.
You know, like the next, like you said, graduate and then let's see where it goes from there.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse, we appreciate you coming on the show today. How was it for you?
It was very well, very interesting, very thought-provoking, and very enlightening.
All the for us, too.
For us, too, and for our listeners, too.
And, it will be up on the Internet in probably about a week or so, and you'll be captured forever in the Hall of Fame.
You can listen to it.
Okay.
Again.
No, yeah, you can email your aunt and say, hey, check this out.
Okay.
It's true. You guys can help me on how to do that.
Yeah, and again, if anybody who heard the show today who thinks that someone else ought to hear the show, make sure and catch it at KXORadio.com on demand. Let's talk about it and lists of all the podcasts. Thank you for joining us again today. It's Let's Talk About It. I'm Scott. She's Maria.
We'll see you back next week.
We sure will. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM, Crosby Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.